Body, Mind, Spirit Radio, your live connection to the information for a healthy body, an enlightened mind, and a renewed spirit.
Hello and welcome to today's inspiration. I am Lisa Berry, and I'm so grateful you have taken the time to listen to us, or you have found us on the Body, Mind, Spirit Radio website, where you can listen anytime at your leisure over and over again. I'm here to share love and laughter and life-inspiring information and a little bit of my perspective in hopes that it might help yours, because really it all comes down to perspective. How we look at things and how we choose to feel about them shapes our everyday lives. I want to start out with some sad news to pass along this morning. I always try to focus on the positive, but I also like to keep you current and up to date. And just moments ago, we found out that award-winning author, renowned poet, and civil rights activist Dr. Maya Angelou has passed away at the age of 86. Angelou had been reportedly battling health problems. She recently had to cancel a scheduled appearance of a special event to be held in her honor. Angelou was one of the most renowned and influential voices of our time and is a celebrated poet, novelist, educator, producer, actress, filmmaker, and civil rights activist. She has received over 50 honorary degrees and was Reynolds Professor of American Studies at Wake Forest University. Again, I am sad to pass along the news that Dr. Maya Angelou passed away this Wednesday morning, May 28th, at the age of 86. A lot of people are already on Twitter and Facebook. It's a trending topic. That's how our world moves in the world of social media these days. And people are putting out their favorite quotes, and perhaps you have a favorite Dr. Maya Angelou quote you'd like to share with us, and we'd love to connect with you. Here's the number to call, 646-378-0378, if you'd like to call in and share a thought about Maya Angelou or one of your favorite quotes, or just connect with us, because that's what this show, today's inspiration, is all about to begin with. Here are a couple of my favorite quotes. If you don't like something, change it. If you can't change it, change your attitude. Dr. Maya Angelou quote. I love that, because as I said at the opening of the show, and like I say every week, it's all about perspective. So if you don't like something, change it. Get out of it. Move it. Change it. Do something. If you can't change it, then change the way you look at it. Change your attitude. That's really, it is that simple. That could make a difference for a lot of people in how they process life, which can sometimes not be as happy or pleasurable as we would like it to be. Another one of my favorite Dr. Maya Angelou quotes is, I've learned that people, this is a good one, I learned that people will forget what you said, people will forget what you did, but people will never forget how you made them feel. So powerful. It's all about feeling and emotion in so many aspects of our life, with your friends and with anything that's going on in your life. It's all about perspective and how you make people feel. Standing by for a guest, a bit distracted here. I think this who's calling on the phone right now, and he needs to be calling a different number. But anyway, Dr. Maya Angelou passed away this Wednesday, May 28th, this morning at the age of 86. And again, if you have a favorite quote or a thought about her that you would like to share, give us a call, 646-378-0378. Otherwise, how you doing? How's your week going? How's your life going? Are you happy? It's been a lot of talk about happiness this week. In fact, I got an email this week from a listener named Carol, and I'm trying to find that email right now. She said, there has been a lot of talk about happiness lately on TV and so on. What is your take on happiness, Lisa, and do you think it's a choice? Well, first of all, Carol, thanks for reaching out. And if you have a question or want to connect with me, it's lisaloveberry, B-A-R-R-Y, at gmail.com, lisaloveberry at gmail.com. I'd love to connect with you, hear from you, talk with you, debate with you, whatever is on your mind. That's what this is all about. So Carol reached out, and she wants to talk about happiness. Well, happiness has been a hobby of mine for many years, I guess because my childhood was so unhappy and painful and miserable. I decided that now I'm an adult, I can choose to let go of all those negative memories and I guess choose to be happy. I realize that we're all only walking on this planet for a certain amount of time, and I would like to make it a pleasurable journey. None of us knows when the journey is going to end, so I try to make it as positive as possible. Been through a lot in my life, lost my sister to breast cancer. She was 51. That was a big turning moment for me to be her on her deathbed and for the hospice worker to try to get her to come to terms with the fact that her journey was about to end way too soon. She was a bright light in this world. She was an attorney, an administrative law judge. She had three kids. She should not be gone, but that's just how it goes. Met with a friend last week who had been dealing himself with some cancer situations, and he said, I don't know how much time I have left, so I want to make the most of it. Well, none of us knows how much time we have left. I have been through it enough to know that life can turn in a moment. So I am choosing to turn my focus on happy. Being happy, on happiness, I guess is what I should say. So I have come across a couple of interesting articles this week that we can talk about. One of them was about what influences our happiness the most. It's relatively a new field called positive psychology, and it's only really started to be taken seriously probably in the last years. There are Harvard professors, a lot of people, you hear about Deepak Chopra, who of course himself is a well-educated medical doctor. But I think now that researchers and scientists are getting more involved, people are realizing that happiness is something that we should be talking about and focusing on and taking seriously. Now, I hate to jump around with you, but I have a special guest who I was anticipating today, and I believe he is on the phone right now. Through my career as a commercial radio broadcaster, I've been blessed to meet and work with a lot of different people, and one of those people has agreed to join us this morning as a special guest. He is known for his award-winning bodybuilding physique, but he has also lived a life that has shaped his inside, his mind and spirit, his body as well. So I think that's who on the line. Hello and welcome to the one and only Peter Nielsen. Is that you, Peter?
It is. How are you doing, Lisa?
Good. We are live right now. I know that you and I, last week's guest I booked through Twitter, and you and I have been connecting through Facebook. It's this new new age communication, but I am so glad that this worked out and you are here to join us today. Peter has a very interesting story. He, at the age of 15, was diagnosed with Crohn's disease. Well, maybe you should tell us the story, Peter. Would you like to go pick it up from there?
Sure. I want to first say hello to all your listeners, and you know, it's a pleasure to serve this morning with you. And, you know, a lot of times people, they'll look at a book or they'll look at a picture and, you know, they see it on how it maybe comes upon themselves. But my life was not always on television or radio. And I think part of our stories is our testimonies, our trials, our tribulations. And when I was 15, I was diagnosed with a disease that has no cure for it. It's Crohn's disease. And many people, you know, that don't know what that is, it's like having the stomach flu every day for the rest of your life. So I went from hospital to hospital and not knowing what it was and missing a year of school. And I went from 130 pounds down to 86 pounds. And then finally, in 1977, when I was a very young boy, they diagnosed me, and we didn't even know what it was, no less knew how to spell it. And then it started to, very interesting enough, fear channeled wrong for many people turns into anger, and anger is really a secondhand emotion to sometimes things we don't know, or if we're cornered and we're upset about not knowing, you know, what's going to happen next. So it really kind of erupted into my dad, who became an alcoholic. He had alcoholic tendencies in parents. And then they started blaming each other on, you know, this disease that I was born with. And then I felt that it was something that was my fault, and I started to go into my cave and became a loner and was on a pity party for a while. So here I am meeting the love and the happiness of my family, the security, the safe zone. And my dad then became very physically abusive. And the last experience I had with my dad was, you know, him chasing my mom into the bedroom, breaking the door down, putting a telephone cord around her neck and trying to take her out. And in life, we go through fight or flight situations, and I wouldn't wish anyone to have to go through something like that. And so my sister ran out of our Brooklyn apartment building to call the police, and I had to make a split decision, and I wanted to save my mom. I couldn't bear living knowing that I wouldn't have at least tried. So I went against my dad and got him off of my mom, and my mom started to come to. And I wasn't as fortunate on getting out of the room, and the last thing he said to me was that your best shot? And then I just remember, you know, vaguely him just beating me until I was unconscious and breaking my collarbone in three places and giving me six stitches over my eye. And I think the reason why I'm saying that to everyone that's listening is that many of us are programmed to fail, you know, but God programs us to win. He doesn't make mistakes. And on that very day, hope was born in my heart, in my life, and I had a choice that I could either be a victim or I could surrender and really walk through that disastrous time. So the next day I tried to take my life in front of the Verrazano Bridge because I just thought that here my mom is in the hospital, my dad is in jail for a few days, and I'm being watched by my grandmother, and this is all my fault. And all I could say is that, you know, God has a plan for each and every one of us, and we are all original. We're diamonds. We're masterpieces. And I get up every morning, Lisa, and I just feel like I'm in Disney World because I can't believe the life that I have today. But it was a process, and we all need to know that, you know, hope will always see the invisible, feel the intangible, and if we get out of our own way and allow it to, it will always accomplish the impossible. So, you know, part of my testimony is the lowlights of my life that truly so many of us go through. And then I ended up winning, you know, 50 bodybuilding titles, including Mr. International Universe and Mr. America. And one of the greatest, I think, things that I would love to share with everyone today is that I have this inner peace, and I am this goofball with my two kids, and I love my life, because when you find someone that finds their passion on something that they love to do, then they really will find their purpose in life. And my purpose is to love on people and to tell people all over the world, not only about fitness and nutrition, but we all have stuff. We all have brokenness. And if we truly forgive and we truly let the past be just that, the past, then we can move forward. And the common denominator of people failing, whether they want to lose 80 pounds, whether they want to reconcile a marriage, whether they want to stop cocaine or watching porn, is that they lose belief and hope in themselves. So they settle for living on the sidelines in life. And in my opinion, the Lord has never meant for us to live a mediocre life. He, you know, whatever seeds that has been planted when you're young and you have these dreams about being a doctor or these dreams about your prince coming and marrying you, they're real. And life will always throw you this uppercut. I could promise you that before the prize appears, life and the enemy, who is real, are here for one reason, to kill and destroy. And life will always do that. And it's how many times we get up, it's how many times we don't give up, that will truly determine on how happy we can be, because happiness is a choice.
Oh, yeah, I was just about to talk about that.
Yeah, I get up this morning, and it's like, you know, I have a form of rheumatoid arthritis, and it's because of the Crohn's. And every day I get up, there's some days I can't shake someone's hand to say hello, no less pick up a dumbbell to work out. But I have a choice to say, I have 86,400 seconds in 24 hours. And it's how I invest in that time that will determine if I have a good day or a bad day. And everybody's going to have different things happening through their day and their life. But it's every day I try to see the glass half full. Every day I try to look beyond someone's poop, because everybody is going to, you know, either have a bad day, try to take it out on you, and I try to look into someone's heart to try to say, wow, they are really angry. There's some brokenness in there. And all they really need to do is, and it's pretty difficult, but it's to resolve that, to forgive. I had to forgive my dad 20 years after he was 6 feet under. I wanted to dig him up. I wanted to beat him up. And then I wanted to rebury him. But when I relinquished that emotional debt, it totally set me free. And I remember the day that I remember waking up one morning and I just said, enough is enough. I'm tired of being tired. I'm tired of being angry. And when I relinquished that emotional debt, my life exploded. The Lord, he just blew the hinges off of the doors and my life changed. And that was one of the reasons why I wanted to be on your show, because, you know, I know what your show is all about, and it's like we all deserve to finish strong and to be happy and to really be fulfilled on what we're supposed to be doing.
We're talking to wholeness fitness expert Peter Nielsen as I wipe the tears from my eyes. I read at least one of your books. I don't remember that story about your dad being in there. Was it, or is this thing that you have relatively recently been talking about?
I just released a new book called Soul Strength that will be coming out in about a month. And, you know, when I got in front of thousands of people just about a year and a half ago, and the Lord spoke to me and said, you're not telling the whole story. You're sugarcoating it. You're not telling the whole story. And I've forgiven my dad. I mean, he's my dad, and he had a sickness. And the point is that sometimes when the Lord gives you these eugenics platforms, they're to be used to help people. So I was not doing him justice, world justice, or even myself by basically just, you know, partial truths or lies. So yes, everything I said was what it was, but I didn't want to hurt my mother, didn't want to hurt my family. But when I basically spoke that, and I'll never forget, in Toronto in front of 2,500 people, and how it resonated, and then I spoke it on my first Principles of Hope television show and interviewed my mother and flew to New York and flew to Florida to get another part of the story, I knew that God was going to use that disastrous time to be the most greatest testimony to help so many people. And, you know, and that is what my life is. That's part of my love song. Mm-hmm. And everyone needs to understand that, you know, the worst situation in your life, you know, you could get something out of it that could be a life changer. And one word of encouragement to someone else could truly just plant seeds that will change someone's life. It's not sometimes me going to an appearance and speaking in front of 10,000 people about nutrition and motivating them and stuff. It's sometimes walking off stage and seeing a guy mopping the floors in the back of the auditorium, and he's talking to himself, and you can just hear his brokenness. Mm-hmm. And there's that little nudge. Some people call it your intuition. I call it your spirit, and it's telling you, it's an invitation to go over and talk to him. You don't even know what you're going to say, but if you have that gut feeling, if you have that discernment, do that, because if you don't, it could be a missed blessing. And a lot of times I think I'm going over there to give someone a word of encouragement that could change their day, but when I get into the car to be driven to my hotel, I'm saying to myself, that just blew my mind.
Hmm.
I thought I was going to help him, and he gave me such love back. The power of giving is amazing.
Yes.
It's so amazing, and it comes back tenfold if you do it for the right reasons with a soft heart in a selfless way.
Well, you said so many things, I don't even know where to go back to start. What your story reminded me of, a song I heard once that only God knows our secrets. So it sounds like that's something that you are getting out now, and it's helping you and helping others. Another thing you mentioned, this is what the show is all about. This is what I'm all about, connecting with people. And I loved how you said you like to love people. I took some time after a couple of years ago and started meditating, and a lot of meditating. I don't know that I know you're probably big on prayer, meditation, whatever gets you to that spot. I found out my greatest gift was that I have a large capacity to love. And like you, I feel that that is my dharma. That's what I should be doing, is spreading that love. So I'm just, your story is very heartfelt and inspiring this morning. You also talked about forgiveness. You had to forgive your dad. That forgiveness is huge. I realize that my parents, although my childhood was not a pretty one, did the best that they could coming from where they were at that time. So Peter Nielsen, is forgiveness a huge part of your mission and message right now?
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of times people will say, you know, I'm sorry. And a lot of times people will say, you know, I forgive you. And you need to be honest with yourself, because I said that I forgave my father, you know, a decade and a half ago. And the point was that you could forgive somebody on the surface, but it's almost like a cyst, or it's almost like, you know, something that's festering on the inside under the skin. If it's not resolved, that pus is going to just turn into an infection. It's not going to go away until you basically lance that and get that poison out. So I think one of the biggest things that has helped me, and part of my message of hope, is that whether you want to start a fitness program today, whether you want to be in the best shape of your life or have the best marriage, my question to you is, you don't want to be 80 pounds overweight. I know people that are 500 pounds. Do you think they want to be 500 pounds? Do you think that they want to get up, you know, at 2 o'clock in the morning and binge eat, and then maybe even purge? Do you think that the guy who's sitting in front of a computer for 5 hours looking at pornographical material, do you think that he wants to do that? It may have stimulated him for 10 minutes, but 5 or 6 hours? The point is that there's something that people are medicating themselves. It could even be working out. Somebody that's working out just for 4 hours. I work out for, you know, 55 minutes to an hour. Anything more than that is boring to me. I want to get in and get out. But the word forgiveness is so powerful, because if you are continually going around that same block, that same mountain 400 times, and you're not resolving an issue that could be 20 years ago, could be 20 days ago, you could have been the person that hurt somebody, and you can't even forgive yourself. You don't even trust your own choices, so how in the world can you get into another relationship if you don't even love yourself?
Exactly, so, yes.
Yeah, so forgiveness is critical, and it was a deal changer for me, because, you know, for me to truly forgive someone and relinquish their debt, for me to then forgive myself for certain things that I did, it made me almost reborn, to the point where I was cleansed of this toxicity. Because, see, we only then, in our business, in our personal, we only choose people that we think we're worthy of. So if we haven't forgiven somebody and we feel yucky about ourselves, then we're going to be getting into unhealthy relationships, both business and and personal over and over and over again. If we forgive and all of a sudden feel good about ourselves and we are happier and we do love ourselves in a very healthy way better, then our standards become top shelf. See, you know, I'm not a religious person, but I have an incredible relationship with God, with Christ. So how I look at it is, you know, I went through a divorce that I didn't want to go through 8 years ago. And there was betrayal, and there was lies, and there was hurt. And the point is that I want someone that has no holes in them, that is totally filled, so that I don't become their God. I don't have to fix them, and then we complement each other. And the way that happens is when someone loves themselves, when someone's happy, and when someone has a great relationship with their faith, then all of a sudden they know what love is, and then they can mirror that healthy love to their mate, to me, to whoever. And I think that you cannot have that without forgiveness. And so forgiveness is so important, whether you want to get the best job, career in the world, whether you want to lose weight and be in the best shape of your life, or have the most incredible relationship with your children. If you cannot forgive, it will destroy you. It will make you the prisoner that you never wanted to be. People think that if I don't forgive him who raped me or who hurt me or who lied to me, I'm hurting him. You're not hurting them. Most of the people that have hurt you, they don't care. You may never even see them again. They may never even have the opportunity to ask for your forgiveness. But what's the greatest thing is, with my dad, I never was able to have that conversation with him. But yet, I chose to forgive him. I chose to move forward and say enough is enough. And when I did, I then chose to live the life that I want to. I want to be happy. I want to, you know, be fulfilled. And once that happened, it was almost like a dominoes. Because then all of a sudden I felt like I was Moses coming down from the mountain, like I had this yaha moment. And my yaha moment was if I could go through two near-death experiences. I mean, 12 years ago, I flatlined, you know, at a local hospital here because the disease came back with a vengeance. And I was, you know, they put defibrillators on me 3 times. Mm-hmm. I thought that I paid my dues when I was young, and I was in my first surgery. But they took another foot of my intestines out, you know, March 7th, 2001 at 2:14 in the morning. I went down right in front of my two daughters. And I then also got very bitter and very angry. And then in front of the Verrazano Bridge, when I heard a little voice, when I had a razor blade against my wrist, when I thought it was all my fault, and I remember that little voice stopped me in my tracks saying, give me one more day. Give me one more chance. And that was when my journey with my faith started. I didn't even believe in God. I didn't know who God was. But at the same time, I wanted out of that harm's way so bad that I started soul searching. So when I look at all the times in my life, I'm no smarter than a lot of people. I'm no different. I bleed the same color. So if it could happen to Peter Nicholas Nielsen, then anybody can live an amazing life, because there is no perfect person. So the message today is that if you say you can or can't, you're probably right. So if you say, I'm going to have a terrible day, guess what? You're probably going to have a terrible day. If you say, you know, I'm going to make this marriage work, you know, it may be hard, but if you truly put those words out, words create life or death, then right. You're going to do your best possible way to do that. If you say, I'm going to lose 40 pounds, then you're going to come up with a game plan, and you need to stick with it. I think the take-home message is this, is that if you truly dig deep enough and find your reasons why to believe again, to truly believe again, then you all of a sudden make this commitment between you and yourself. And when you make that commitment between you and yourself, that is the beginning of something amazing. That's when happiness will start. That's when it will set you free. That's when you'll be able to forgive and move forward. And that's when you truly then, once you feel that way, you want to pay it forward. The most amazing thing is that I want everybody to be tied into what I found out about my life on so many disastrous times. Guess what? I survived them. And no matter what you're going through, you know, a person can get through it if they have a good support system, if they believe again. And to be happy, your body's working so much more efficiently. It's so much healthier. Being sad and being stressed, it increases cortisol and homocysteine, and it creates so much havoc and disease on your body. So, I mean, happiness is what everyone wants. There's two things we can never buy back. We can never buy back today, which is our time, and we can never buy back our health. I know atheists or billionaires that on their deathbed, they basically have done two things. They've asked for God's help, and they've asked for more time. And with all the money in the world, you can't buy back time. So, you know, today when everyone is driving around or when you may be in a stressful situation, take a deep breath, be still, and you have a choice on how that situation is going to go. And it's amazing when you love on somebody, when you smile and they see your light, it diffuses the most furious, devilish person. It's almost like it's crazy magic. It's just a phenomenon. And that's what I would love to, you know, to just tell everyone today is just give an encouraging word. You know, people are either darkness or they're light. Shed your light. It will void darkness. And it'll just be it could be a great day.
Like you, like me, I think you are what I like to call myself, a moment saverer, because nobody knows how many moments they have. And I just want you, it's really important, I think, to be in this moment and savor this moment and focus on the good things. Is that something that Peter Nielsen practices as well?
Oh, absolutely. It's like, you know, there was a song by Tim McGraw, you know, and when I had my second, near-death experience, you know, I remember it was out, and it was called Live Like You're Dying. And I call them, you know, Kodak moments. And a lot of times people will see me take pictures no matter where I am in the world. And I'll put Instagram, instead of like a picture with a celebrity or a picture with the president, I'm taking pictures of sunsets.
Oh, hello. You're speaking to the queen. Sunset pictures.
Yeah.
I love sunset pictures.
Yeah. And the reason why is that I was on our boat going back years ago with my daughter, Dana, my younger daughter, who's now 17, and I remember saying to her, look at that sunset. And she wasn't focusing on it. I said, but look at the colors. And she looked at it, and then all of a sudden I explained to her, as the sun went down and we were pulling into our dock, I said, there's only one sunset a day. There's no two that are alike. They're one of a kind. You'll never see that exact sunset for the rest of your life. You'll see other sunsets, but you'll never see that one. And you don't know if you ever see another sunset, because we don't have a guarantee for tomorrow. So, you know, I don't wish anyone too near-death experiences, but when you basically, when you flatline, and I was in a coma for 4 days, an induced coma, when I woke up, and this is a true story. When I woke up, I just, you know, like it's almost like waking up in the morning before the dog barks, before before the TV goes on, before you kind of start really thinking about what you have to do or even what day it is, your spirit starts talking to you. You know, your conscience starts talking to you. And when I woke up in the hospital, the first thing that I heard in my inner spirit was, are you truly willing to love on people and spread the good news in all the platforms that I've entrusted you with? Now, it's easy to say that. Any person would say yes when they're in the fire because they're so appreciative to be out of the fire, but they're still feeling the flames on their back. It's when you get healthy, and it's when you become full of yourself again, and when you're away from the pain and the fire and the near-death experience to truly live that. And that was a promise that I made, because in that conversation with myself and to me, God, when my spirit was talking to me, they said, you never ever have to mention my name. You never ever have to shake a Bible. All you need to do is smile, and people will see my light, my joy, my hope, my peace, and my love. So the crazy thing is that when we allow that in our lives, it becomes so full within that when we do talk or when we do smile, people can't not be gravitated like a magnet to want some of that. So the point is that when you are happy and when you are living a life and you are uninhibited and you are this goofball and you're not taking yourself too serious, but you're taking your purpose in life serious, people notice that, and that's what's attractive. They're not so much looking at your hair or what you're wearing or the car you're driving. They're looking at your spirit on how you're living your life. My kids know I talk well because that's what I do for a living. My children are more concerned on how I live my life, what I do, not what I say, because that creates character, it creates integrity. And I think that so many people that are listening now, they may even be at a job or they may be in a relationship that's not healthy. And my question to you is, why? Why? Why would you not feel worthy or good enough to get out of an abusive relationship? Why are you at a job that you hate, that's a J-O-B, and not living your purpose by doing a talent that God has given you? That's a serious question, and it can kind of delve into some really soul-searching, but those are the things that create happiness. When you do what you love to do with a passion, you're living with purpose.
I think people think that, I think people think that's for someone else, though, that it's not for them. I think they think making a change is too difficult, or, you know, that's what happens to the Kardashians and Peter Nielsen. I mean, how much work does it take? Can you really make that change and live a life of purpose and fulfillment?
And, you know, fear is the fear is the one of the things that hold people back. You know, and I wrote this in my new book, and it's so true, but the only thing the enemy could do is get in our ear. It's the only thing. It's the only entry point. And for most of us, including me, my dad called me a loser. He called me a mistake. So when I'm having a bad or an insecure moment, that tape recorder, that old tape recorder, goes on in my mind saying, you're not good enough, you're a mistake, you're an inconvenience, you know, or someone that has bought 14 different memberships over their life to a health club, and they've never, ever gotten to that point. And when they go to even think about joining another health club, in their mind is like, I'm a loser. I've never, what am I doing? I'm wasting $300. I have never lost more than 10 pounds, and then I gain it back. Why would I do that? Why would I drive that distance and invest that time when I've never done it before? That's a lie. Maybe you failed X amount of times, but maybe you didn't have the right support or the right tools. The crazy thing is that it only takes one time. It only takes one moment to change your life. It only takes one person. It only takes one connection. It only takes one phone call. So I'm a diehard. I mean, you know, it's like as I'm going down, taking my last breath, I'm going to forgive the person that has hurt me, and I'm going to try to take another breath. That's just how I'm wired because of the experiences of my past. So it's a great question that you just said, but I'm no different than anyone. The difference is that my dad said, man, he says, you know, you just have like this, his terminology was like, you know, you just like, I can't even believe that you're doing that. It's like you don't even realize on how hard it is. And in my life, I just was like, why not? Why not go for it?
That's a great question. Right.
Why not? What's the worst that could happen? I'm going to be laughed at or I'm going to not make it. But why would I ever, I never want to say I should have, I would have, I could have. And I've never in my life could say any of that because I have fallen on my face 100 times before one successful time, but people on Facebook or my TV show or anywhere will only see that one time that's captured. They don't see the 99 other times that I'm coming home and I'm emotionally, physically, spiritually exhausted. But then all of a sudden, I have this amazing thing called sleep, and I go to sleep maybe feeling defeated, and with God's help, I mean, I wake up and there's this like transformer inside my body, and I wake up and it's like as soon as I get up, I'm like, bring it on, and it's a new day.
Right.
You know?
Like, we talked about taking sunset pictures. I'm obsessed with Lake Michigan, and I love to go to Bay Harbor. I don't know if you've ever been there, one of my favorite spots on the planet. And people say, what do you do? And I say, I stare at the lake because it's full of such nature and history and Petoskey stones, the state stone of Michigan, are millions of years old. And so I would take a lot of sunset pictures. And then I always worked morning drive and radio, and I never got to see sunrises. Well, now I'm not on morning drive radio, so I get up now. I bore my friends with all my pictures of sunrises because, like you said, it's the start of, and there's so many possibilities with each and every day. You wake up, and it's a clean slate, and the sun has come up, which is a miracle in itself, and the birds are chirping, and we're surrounded by nature, and it's, I feel, my choice to expect, like you said, you wake up and you feel like you're in Disney World. I love that. I love Disney World. So I'm expecting good things to happen, and I think that's half the battle right there. You also talked about energy, too. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, and just on a, you know, on a final note about a sunrise, you know, what a sunrise represents to me is not only a new start, but I love the word dawn because the darkest moments of 24 hours in a day is seconds before dawn. Seconds before the sun comes over the horizon is the darkest. And in many, many people's worlds, the most bleakest moments of that 24 hours. And I remember my mom saying to me, this giant of a woman who was a rock in our family, who stands only 5 feet tall and was going against my dad, who was, you know, 6'3". And she would say, this day shall pass. And the dawn will rise again. No matter what anyone's going through, no matter how bad today is, no matter how bleak it looks, no matter how dark of a hole you're in, tomorrow, God promises, the dawn will come and the sun will shine over the horizon. And that's the epitome of hope. Hope crosses over to tomorrow. And that is what makes me smile, because, yeah, today could be tough and I could have pain, but my hope is that it's going to get better. And that's what everybody's hope should be.
I feel the same way about healing, too. And you, Peter Nielsen, have been, since you were a teenager, through a lot of medical situations. But that's the great thing about the medical field and a new day, is that every day you can feel and heal and get a little bit better. I think that's the hope of a new day as well.
It is. I mean, you know, the second surgery that I had, that I flatlined with the Crohn's disease, it's like, you know, here I'm at the top of my game, and my body is my business. It's like, you know, I'm on TV and I'm
You got to look Peter
like
Nielsen up if you want to see him, because you're a bodybuilder and you're in really good shape. But go on. I'm sorry.
And so, you know, when I came out of the hospital, I went from 195 pounds down to 149 pounds within, you know, a week's period of time. And, you know, I could bench press, you know, 300-400 pounds, and I couldn't even pick up, you know, 3 pounds when I came out of the hospital. So it mentally tried to psychologically destroy me, because I was just like, this is crazy. But the greatest thing, as you said, is our body is so beautifully chemically balanced that it wants to heal. It wants to improve. So I just, you know, 60 to 70% on how you look or how you feel has to do with what you put in your mouth. And food can help you heal, and sleeping is the only time that your body recovers, and it's a healing process. So I just try to de-stress my own life, and I spent many weeks home recovering, but I got into just a really, you know, it's a lifestyle. The first three letters of the word diet spell die. Who wants to die?
Right.
You know, and so
I'm dying for a cookie, but that's not probably the right way to look at it. Go on. I'm sorry.
You know, and I think that, you know, so healing is a great thing, and it took me 9 months to get my physique back, which to me was a miracle, but I did, and I still did television with, you know, some loose sweatsuits on and stuff, but I journaled it, and I recommend anyone putting a journal together and documenting your workouts and documenting your eating. It's really you against you, and it's very important. And, you know, I always say that a journey of 1,000 miles starts with one good meal at a time, one good workout at a time, one good step at a time. And that's, you know, what people need to realize is if they haven't worked out for 30 years or for 10 years, this is not going to happen in 10 days. But this is so worth it. This is to truly finish strong and to have more quality in your life and to get off some prescription medications and just feel human again, because your body really wants to take care of you. But we are such gluttons for punishment, and we abuse our bodies in so many ways with smoking and overeating and alcohol and, you know, just excess of not the best stuff.
How can you motivate? I'll just speak for myself. I just feel like I'm lazy. I'm like, why am I not making the effort? Why am I not doing the due diligence to treat my body as well as I should be? How can you motivate us? How can you get us over that hump?
You know, I think it goes back to what I said before. It's like, you know, whether it's yourself or whether it's, you know, someone else there is listening, you got to first ask yourself, okay, why do I want to eat? Or maybe why do
I'm
I
bored.
Eat a whole box of cookies, right?
Yeah. Well, and, it's not a whole box, but just a couple.
But then what it comes down to is how much do I value my health? I only have one body, one model year. It's the temple of my spirit. Why would I want to abuse that? Why do I take care of my car better than I take care of my own body? Then that gets into even a few more questions, you know, and it's like it could be, you know, that a person doesn't love themselves the way that they should, respect themselves the way that they should, honor their body the way that they should. And all I know is that, you know, you and I were talking, and obviously we have spirits and we have minds and brains, and our body is basically carrying us to and from everywhere we go. And if our body breaks down, we can't buy another body. We could buy another car, we could buy a house, but we can't buy another body. So the most valuable thing you will ever own in your entire life is your body. And before I pick up that chocolate, you know, pudding, or before I want to have that third piece of pizza or whatever the case is, I have a health conscience. I say, how bad do I want that? Because either it's artery clogging fat, a heart attack on a plate waiting to happen. Do I really want it that bad? Or I'm going to wear it. So, like, do I want that to? You know, so of course I like, you know, sweets and different things, but I like the way I feel better. I like the way my body operates. I like that I run out of, you know, I run out of clock in a day before I run out of energy. It's because my body is tuned. I'm not on no prescription drugs. I have all my bearings in my senses. I like the way I feel in my skin. I like the way my skin looks. So those things are more important to me than that cookie or that bag of potato chips. So it's really kind of, you know, a perspective of, you know, it's the way you look at things, and I think it's the way people, what you said going back before, it's like a lot of people are like, why bother? I can never look like that. Or I'll never get off of this beta blocker or this cholesterol medicine. That's baloney. That's ridiculous. That's a lie. You know, that's a cop-out. So I think that, you know, my life being, you know, a trainer of the year for so many years, having 7 different health clubs throughout the country, is to motivate and educate, you know, people to truly be the best they can be. The funniest thing, some of my clients were amazing heart doctors, cardiologists, but yet I would see them in Morton smoking a big fat cigar. They know better. They just didn't respect their body. I know morbidly obese nutritionists. They know nutrition, but obviously something on the inside is not dealt with. And they're medicating themselves, and they don't respect themselves as much as they should. Like I said before, people are not 80 pounds overweight because they want to be. They don't. There's something going on the inside. And I think a good exercise physiologist, a good trainer, doesn't just work on the physical. You need to work on the nutrition as well, but then there's that X factor, which will make or break a success. And that is the, I'll call it the metrics of who a person is. What's going on the inside? Why is this person eating? Why is this person on 4 marriages? What is broken? And trust me, you know, an exercise physiologist or a good trainer doesn't need to be a psychiatrist, and they shouldn't be. But at the same time, they need to put into consideration that this is way bigger than them, and this person could do everything that they say, but this person has a stronghold or an addiction to food or to whatever, or alcohol or whatever, and they need more support. They need more help, and help is out there. And I think, you know, I just did a show on an addiction, and addiction is isolation, and it's closing in on, and you're in a black hole, and you feel helpless, hopeless. And recovery is about unity, and it's about bringing light to it, and it's about getting help. So, you know, for all your listeners out there who, you know, strongholds come very slowly, you know, and it's whether you give up smoking and all of a sudden you start drinking. Usually you trade an addiction for another addiction. You know, all of a sudden, you know, I gave up a person will give up cocaine and all of a sudden they get into, you know, becoming a sex addict, or a person gives up alcohol and smoking and they get into gambling. It's not always that way, but statistics are very, very high. So just be aware of your inner self, and have a great support group, have a great mentor, have accountability buddy. Besides having a training partner, have accountability buddy. And those are all things that are just going to help a person be more successful. By you even, Lisa, having someone to work out with, you know, and all of a sudden competition breeds success, a good friend or something, all of a sudden it then develops where you have more willpower to not have, you know, that extra cookie and want to reach a specific goal. Goals are great, you know, when you write them down or you speak them out.
Well, we just have a couple of minutes left, but I do have one basic question. Does getting ourselves together inside and outside, does it start with self-love? Does it start with parenting? Does it start with what we're hearing in our country and everything is supersized and the portions are so huge and people drink soft drinks all the time? Where does it start? Does it start with loving ourselves or being more aware of our bodies, I guess, is my question.
I think you hit it head on. You know, it really starts with self-worth. It really starts with loving yourself. It really starts with being accountable. The word workout, no one's going to take work out of the word workout. It's like, no one's going to work out for me.
Let's call it a fun out. How about a fun out? Let's go fun out.
Exactly. I mean, you know, and it's like I was talking to a friend of mine, and they're like, "Oh, Peter, you know, you're always helping people." And even though I help people, no one's going to come and cook for me. No one's going to come and cook 4 or 5 meals a day for me. I mean, I'm a nice guy, but I need to. If I want something, I need to take ownership of it. Don't play the blame game. If you're in a marriage, don't blame the other person for your unhappiness. You have the right to be happy and to take ownership of that. It is yours. No one can take that, nor should they take that. The only way they take that is when you feel unworthy and allow them to use their positional power to take it from you. And there's no one to blame but yourself. If you're in an unhealthy relationship, then get out. If you don't like the job and you're unhappy with, then start looking for something that you love. But those are the seeds that you need to plant that are called happiness. Those are the ingredients that will make you smile. Because when I get up in the morning, I can't even believe the life I have because I'm doing what I want to do.
Peter Nielsen, we've got 1 minute to go here, and I cannot thank you enough. You have been so inspiring and encouraging, and I knew you had great energy when I worked with you 20 years ago, and it's just great that you're still with us and doing so well. How can people find you? I know you got a new book out. How do people connect with you? I want to give you that chance.
I think the best way is, you know, I have a syndicated TV show called Peter's Principles and Principles of Hope. You could find me on Impact Network as well as TCT. I'm on ABC every Friday at 12:30. And you could also go to my website at petersprinciples.com. And my Facebook is Peter N. Nielsen. I just want everybody to have a great day. I love what you're doing, Lisa. Keep doing it. God bless everybody, and thank you for inviting me on your show.
Thank you so much for coming, Peter Nielsen, and he also has a new book coming out, Soul Strength. I'm Lisa Barry. Email me, lisaloveberry, B-A-R-R-Y, at gmail.com. We'll have to talk about happiness next week, and it's going to be good, so I look forward to you listening. Love yourself, and talk to you soon.